Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Unbossed, How Black Girls Are Leading the Way by Christy Lauren Adams. Narrated by Christy Lauren Adams. For my sister Chloe, whose leadership inspires me every single day. Forward. In Unbossed, Christy Lauren Adams shows us that for every Black girl genius in the spotlight, there are countless others in the wings. They are artists and activists, innovators and entrepreneurs, organizers and reformers. The eight girls, some of them now emerging women, featured in Unbossed, epitomize Black girl magic. They are high achievers who have accomplished successes in their preteen and teen years that even high-achieving adults would be proud to pull off. With widely diverse interests and backgrounds, these girls have one thing in common. They saw a problem, dreamed a solution, and implemented it, often with great odds stacked against them. In some cases, their own struggles helped them to perceive a need, as Hannah Lucas did when her experiences of bullying, harassment, depression, and suicidality inspired her to develop the Not Okay mobile app. Likewise, Tia Amoy Roberts, a student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School at the time of the 2018 campus shooting, stepped up as an activist and spokesperson to challenge the media's exclusion of the Black students who made up 25% of the school's population. In other cases, these girls realized that youth voices and leadership were needed in movements dominated by adults. Stephanie Younger acted on this realization to create the Black Feminist Collective, an intergenerational platform for womanist and Black feminist thought. Amar Afeji brings her age, gender, and race to bear as she attempts to bridge the environmental justice and racial justice movements through her organizing, public education, and research. Jaishel Nicole Schenck has realized that as inheritors of the future, young people need to have a bigger role in shaping it. So she started a youth-led social justice movement, Gen Z, We Want to Live. In every case, these girls recognize their own power to be change agents. Grace Callwood did this when, in the midst of her own cancer treatment, she realized that she had the power to serve other kids who were in foster care or struggling with illness, poverty, or homelessness. Kennedy Smith did it when she started iArt Cleveland to promote art education in under-resourced communities, and again when she started an online forum to promote sisterhood and community among girls and women. Sonia Lukoma did it with Brown Kids Read because she saw that kids her age had little exposure to diverse literature. Each of these girls is a creative visionary who has decided it is never too early to change the world. Their lives are an inspiration to Black girls, women, and anyone else who has been taught that we have to wait our turns, that we are too young, too inexperienced, or too new to lead. One of the gifts of Unbossed is Christy Lauren Adams' deft attention to naming and describing just how these girls embody leadership. Too often, the genius of Black girls and women goes unseen so much that we fail to see it in ourselves. Adams gives us the language for this. At the same time, Adams refuses listeners the temptation we might have to view these young leaders as strong Black women in the making, as mythical figures having near superhuman capacities for fixing things. Adams shows us their strength and resilience, to be sure. But she also opens a window to their vulnerabilities, serious illness, financial instability, depression, anxiety, lack of support from teachers, loneliness, insecurity, and struggles with body shaming and colorism. Adams shows us that being exceptional does not render them immune from the hardships of Black girlhood. They may accomplish seemingly magical things at times, but they are neither magical nor mythical themselves. They are ordinary girls who reach for the extraordinary and who inspire the rest of us to do likewise. Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes, author of I Bring the Voices of My People and Too Heavy a Yoke. Introduction. On January 20th, 2021, Amanda Gorman stepped to the podium with poise and confidence. In a commanding voice that served the magnitude of the moment, the National Youth Poet Laureate captured the nation's attention with her inaugural poem, The Hill We Climb. In the moments following, news media outlets marveled at the young poet and activist. "How is she only 22?" one reporter asked. "She reminds me of Maya Angelou," another journalist said. "She's a young hero," another exclaimed. It's as if her presence, her maturity, and her wisdom came as a surprise. Yet the brilliance of this young poet was not unforeseen. The very presence of Vice President Kamala Harris and former First Lady Michelle Obama at that ceremony should have left no room for surprise. Of course an Amanda Gorman exists. Both Vice President Harris and Michelle Obama were once 22-year-old leaders like Gorman herself. In some ways, the surprise was telling. Why were so many people seemingly surprised by a Black girl's brilliance, leadership, and confidence? Black women and girls have demonstrated their leadership to this world for as long as we have existed. Claudette Colvin was only 15 years old when she refused to give up her seat to a white woman on a segregated bus in 1955. 16-year-old Barbara Johns led her classmate in a strike to protest the substandard conditions at her high school in Prince Edward County, Virginia, in 1961. 9-year-old Audrey Faye Hendricks was the youngest marcher arrested for a civil rights protest in Birmingham, Alabama, in 1963. And notably, a 22-year-old college student named Prathia Hall spoke at a church meeting in Terrell County, Georgia, in 1962, where Martin Luther King Jr. would be in attendance. At that meeting, she uttered the phrase, "I have a dream," repeatedly in a prayer, sharing her vision for Black people in America. King would later express his admiration for her oratorical skills, and he was, of course, particularly impressed with the phrase, "I have a dream." We would go on to hear Hall's influence expressed in King's now famous speech at the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. In 1972, Shirley Chisholm became the first woman and first Black major party candidate to run for president of the United States. Her campaign message was Unbought and Unbossed, which became the title of her memoir. Today, almost 50 years later, young Black girls are following in her legacy with their leadership, resilience, and integrity. They too are showing the world that they are unbossed, unapologetic in their calling and approach to leading on their own terms. Though their stories are often overlooked, Black girls have always played important roles in social movements in the fight for a better and more equal world. Young Black people played a pivotal role at the height of these movements, and we often call to mind their activism and the lessons they have taught us. In the same way we learn from the Black youth of previous generations, we must turn our attention to the lives of rising Black girl leaders of today. It is important to pay attention to their leadership now because their passion, strength of character, and vision will teach and inspire us in this ever-changing world. Growing up as a Black girl, I found that leadership came naturally to me. Yet I had difficulty reconciling my innate gift with the shame, insecurity, and invisibility that society imposed due to my race and gender. These struggles took years to overcome, yet I was able to evolve as a leader despite these obstacles. My professional career has included more than 15 years of experience in education, ministry, and counseling. In many of those arenas, I have been either the first woman of color, or the first Black woman holding a position of authority. This has made me fully aware of the responsibility I have to the Black girls who see me in those positions. I understand the importance of representation for them and how essential it is to leverage my resources to create safe spaces for their leadership to blossom. In the encounters and relationships I have developed with Black girls, I have learned much from their wisdom and resilience. My first book, Parable of the Brown Girl, The Sacred Lives of Girls of Color, focuses on narratives of personal encounters I have had with Black girls and the truths that emerge through the girls' stories and wisdom. Now, in Unbossed, How Black Girls Are Leading the Way, I introduce young Black leaders who most of mainstream society has not met, but whose exceptional leadership is substantive enough to educate us all, youth and adults, on the multidisciplinary field of leadership. Each chapter introduces one of eight young women and her work, and includes a brief analysis of her specific leadership style. I explore how these girls are connected to Black women leaders who have gone before them, and highlight the leadership wisdom that each girl demonstrates and that I believe offers universal truths for listeners. In her book, Black Women as Leaders, Lori Latrice Martin writes, "The importance of creating a perspective on the practice of leadership that is Black women-centered cannot be understated. Much of the literature on leadership theory is white men-centered. Thus, leadership theory requires new ways of theorizing leadership and changing dominant narratives about leadership. Black girl leaders have emerged from the margins to be the voice of change. The 8 Black girl leaders featured in this book are the Black women we will be hearing about and studying for decades to come. We must take heed of the wisdom of their leadership. Black girls like Amanda Gorman have given us a glimpse of what's ahead. Maybe we'll be less surprised by Black girls' brilliance as we become more aware of how it surrounds us all the time. The future toward which we look will be led by Black women and girls." Chapter 1, Born with Purpose, The Strategic Thinking of Sanyu Lukoma. I want to make Brown Kids Read a big thing to show kids that a Black girl can do this and that Black girls are important enough to be featured in literature. Sanyu Lukoma, founder of Brown Kids Read. When she was just 5 years old, Sanyu Lukoma fell in love with a book called Rosa, an inspiring children's book about Rosa Parks, written by poet, activist, and educator Nikki Giovanni. The children's picture book recounts the day Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat for a white person on a segregated bus and describes how this launched the famous 1955 Montgomery bus boycott. The book gives background into Rosa Parks' life and activism, as well as highlighting other women who made the movement possible. I was so in love with the story because I like to imagine that if I were in Rosa's position, I would make the same decision that she did, Sanyu says. Well into her teenage years, Sanyu still has the book that made such an impact on her as a young girl. "I want to give it to my kids when I grow up, because I love that book so much." In December 2008, Sanyu was 3 years old and rehearsing with the choir at her church. "But I wasn't allowed to have a lyric sheet, because only the big kids who could read were allowed to have one," Sanyu remembers. She was so disappointed that she determined that something would change. "We left for the holiday break, and I wanted to read so badly. So by the time we came back to the choir in late January, I had learned how to read enough so that I could have a lyric sheet." Over the span of 6 or 7 weeks, she had taught herself to read. By that time, Sanyu had turned 4. "Everyone in the choir was shocked and impressed," she says with a smile. "That was the first time my mother knew that I was going to be an extremely avid reader." Ever since then, she has had a passion for words and reading. "Not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers," Harry S. Truman once said. In Sanyu's case, a passion for reading was the foundation of leadership. "I was first introduced to Sanyu when a friend suggested I partner with a local organization for an event for my first book, Parable of the Brown Girl. The event was to be held at a local bookstore, and we decided that raising money for a nonprofit run by a young Black woman would help push our agenda of supporting Black girls. Besides, my friend told me that way I'd get to connect to the founder of Brown Kids Read." "You just have to meet this young lady. She is sharp," my friend said. Sanyu was just 14 years old when we met in a Starbucks on a cold fall day. I loved her immediately. She is witty and vibrant, with a bright and energetic smile. Sanyu is the very embodiment of her name, which means joy or gladness, and is of African Luganda origin. Sanyu has a joyous and energetic persona. "I think that once somebody meets me, they can kind of get a feel for my personality," she tells me. "A lot of people can tell I like to talk a lot, and they can also tell I have a lot of high energy or I can be bossy at times. And it's not like I try and hide those things." She is very comfortable around adults, and I felt as though we had known each other for years. In a short amount of time, she has told me more about herself and what she does in her free time. Sanyu loves being a homeschooled student because she enjoys the freedom and flexibility that comes with it. At the same time, she is a very social person and misses being with her friends during the school day. Her favorite subject is literature, or anything having to do with reading and writing. Books create so many pathways, she says. Sanyu is a proud member of two organizations in addition to her own nonprofit, New Jersey Orators, through which she does competitive public speaking, and Kids Hub Media Network, an organization that trains and mentors youth as junior broadcasters and journalists. After some small talk, Sanyu dove into her assessment of my book, Parable of the Brown Girl, and expressed appreciation for how she felt it represented her in some important ways. I was surprised. I didn't expect her to have read the book and was flattered that she would have taken the time to read and share her thoughts. Then again, Sanyu strikes me as someone who never comes to a meeting unprepared. While we were there for what was essentially a business meeting, figuring out a partnership between her nonprofit and my book launch, her infectious personality made me want to know more about her, and more specifically, what motivates her. Sanyu is the proud older sister to her young brother and sister. She works to better herself as a leader for them first. They look up to me a lot, she says about her siblings. When I do different things, I want to make sure I am a good role model for them to look up to. Sanyu fears for her siblings' safety. In an era in which mass shootings are on the rise and violent white supremacy is at work, she worries. All the things going on, like school shootings and black men being killed in the street, it hurts, she says with concern. I get scared. My little brother is 9. I don't want him to walk outside and be scared that he's going to be holding a bag of candy and someone is going to come and attack him just because of the color of his skin. For comfort and strength, Sanyu turns to her faith in God. Ever since she was young, she and her family have been very active in her local church. I feel like God placed me in that environment so that I was able to feel like nothing can stop me, she says. In her words, I hear her gratitude for the love and care and support of her church community. She sees God in the relationship she has been able to build there. In Sunday school, we were just studying the scripture, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, New International Version. That really touched me, she says. When I feel like I want to give up, I know that it hurts God when I have those thoughts because he gave me talent and he gave me gifts and he gave me a special purpose to do these things. And that's why I keep pushing and I keep going. This persistence and her commitment to use the gifts God has given her has propelled Sanyu to one of her greatest achievements, founding the organization Brown Kids Read. It's an idea she thought of when she was just 12 years old. Brown Kids Read. The first time I thought of Brown Kids Read, it wasn't supposed to be an organization, she recalls. It was just supposed to be a partnership with another nonprofit to do a fundraiser for them. The nonprofit, Double Dose, was led by Sanyu's friends, a set of twins who wrote a book together. At the time, Sanyu was working with another author to turn her book into a party entertainment business. When Sanyu heard that Double Dose was doing an event at Barnes & Noble, she pitched the idea to the twins, connecting their book launch with the party entertainment idea. "We needed a name for it since Barnes & Noble asked for the name of your event. So we came up with Brown Kids Read. Once I got to that event and I saw the kids buying the books and I saw the excitement on their faces, I was like, I want to replicate this." Sanyu realized that a lot of the kids in her age group did not have the opportunity to read and learn about diverse literature. "My parents made an effort to give me books that portrayed Black women as strong and confident," she says. "I grew up having a lot of diverse books. I grew up with a bookshelf full of books featuring people who looked like me. But several of my peers and friends didn't have that opportunity. So I wanted to make sure that the next generation did not have that lack of diverse books. I wanted to make sure that they had access to them, which is very important." Sanyu's thoughts run parallel to a wider movement from We Need Diverse Books, WNDB, called #OwnVoices, based on a hashtag that started on Twitter and by which people recommended books about diverse characters written by authors who are themselves from marginalized identities. The movement highlights the importance of representation by diverse authors. The hashtag started by calling attention to diversity in children's literature, but it has since expanded to all literature. Elena Leary, a Boston-based publishing professional, wrote about the importance of the hashtag Own Voices movement. The reason that hashtag Own Voices creators are so important is because as marginalized people, we're the best authority on telling our own stories. It's great that more people are talking about how to write authentic, sensitive stories outside their experience and getting sensitivity readers involved, but it's also important that marginalized people are able to tell their own stories. WNDB recently decided to discontinue using the hashtag OwnVoices hashtag and instead will use specific descriptions that authors use for themselves and their characters. Sonya picked up on the same need for diverse literature before she knew anything about the Own Voices movement. She is intuitive, able to see the need for such books on her own. This is significant because it demonstrates that Black youth are not only aware of the lack of representation in literature, they are proactive in the solutions. In an effort to make Brown Kids Read more marketable and appealing to kids, Sonya built on the concept of bringing books to life. The organization's nonprofit status became official in November 2018. By the beginning of 2019, Sonya, with the help of her mother and father, had put on a series of community reading events, which exposed youth to new literature and at which local authors read excerpts and held giveaways. She eventually realized how difficult it is to get kids out on Saturdays to read. Weekends are the days that youth have off from school, and thus, anything resembling academics was a turnoff to some. Sonya was also competing against weekend commitments like sports and other extracurriculars. While this frustrated Sonya, she was determined to find a creative way to move forward. She came up with the concept of a pop-up bookstore, a traveling book display that she could take to local events. Her parents loaned her $2,000 to purchase books, and she began setting up the Brown Kids Read pop-up bookstore to display and sell books at various events. That was another way to get kids excited, she says. They got to see a whole bunch of books with people that are featuring them and people who are from other countries and people that they didn't know about. From there, the Brown Kids Read social media reach began to grow and organizations began to contact Sonya for interviews to support her work and to get the word out about the organization. Brown Kids Read now offers a host of events throughout the year. Sonya continues to promote the importance of diverse books for youth through various Brown Kids Read initiatives, such as a book club for teenagers called Book Junkie Insider, in which teens discuss relevant and thought-provoking books with an action plan in mind. Sonya recently started the Book Junkie podcast, in which she converses with her friends and peers about young adult books. The website Brown Kids Read sells merchandise such as tote bags, journals, t-shirts, and travel mugs. Sonya also offers book reviews for the diverse literature she promotes and shares her contagious love for books with her readers. In one review, she writes, "When I began to read Slay, it felt like a mixture of The Hunger Games and The Hate U Give, both books I strongly recommend. I love the concept and story because it's uncommon to find Black girls as main characters in young adult literature that are strong individuals and painted in a positive light." The organization also offers young people the opportunity to read and review books of their choosing on the site. And from time to time, Brown Kids Read offers essay writing contests for youth with the opportunity to win cash prizes and other gifts. Along with these initiatives, the Brown Kids Read website offers books for sale. The site's main page features a diverse array of illustrated brown faces on the covers. Above the books is a picture of Sonya, beaming with pride, her arms stretched wide to show the display of books. Though lighthearted in nature, Sonya is very serious about the work she does and the young people she serves through her organization. Sonya has said time and time again that she wants the kids she serves to be excited. She wants them to be excited about books, and she believes that representation of diverse voices is the gateway to that excitement. I want to make Brown Kids Read a big thing to show kids that a Black girl can do this, and that Black girls are important enough to be featured in literature, she says. Reading can be a great form of entertainment, and you can learn from it at the same time. Through Brown Kids Read, Sonya motivates young people to read books that feature children of color. She believes that by making reading fun and relatable, she can share her love of literature and inspire the next generation of readers. God gave me purpose, she says simply. My purpose is to lead. My purpose is to inspire people. Strategic leadership. Sonya Lukoma is a problem solver. She prides herself on her ability to think critically. She reflects on all her endeavors, thinking about what she can do better the next time. Anytime she has had challenges, she considers them teachable moments. I am very good at seeing the logic in situations, she says when I ask her to describe her leadership style. I'm always trying to figure out what's the most efficient way to do something or how we can solve a problem quickly. Sonya is a strategic leader. She has a goal in mind and enacts a careful and intentional plan in order to get to that goal. Sonya's vision for Brown Kids Read is based on the female Black leaders she has read about as a child. She, in turn, wants to make a difference by inspiring others. I read about people like Rosa Parks, Katherine Johnson, and Ruby Bridges, who all inspired me to be like them, a world-changing female. I want to make a difference by inspiring kids to choose more diverse literature and making those books accessible to them. According to Management Study Guide, an educational portal for students and corporations, strategic leadership refers to a manager's potential to express a strategic vision for the organization and to motivate and persuade others to acquire that vision. Strategic leaders create structures to equip their organization to achieve its goals, and Sonya did just that. She created a structure for Brown Kids Read that will maximize the organization's ability to reach as many youth as possible and to expose them to diverse literature. She has created different avenues to do this, including community events, podcasts, book reviews, and other means. But Sonya's strategic leadership is not limited to these initial strategies. Strategic leaders consistently think about their organization's long-term success while also keeping their focus on short-term stability. She is constantly reevaluating where her organization is and thinking up new processes and action plans to move toward the Brown Kids Read vision. Her innate strategic skills align with the organization strategy process that Hughes, Beatty, and Dinwiddie outline in their book, Becoming a Strategic Leader, Your Role in Your Organization's Enduring Success. The strategic leader sets a mission and values, creates a strategy, executes the strategy, and then assesses. This is Sonya's ongoing leadership approach. It is a purposeful process of continual improvement for both the organization and herself. The strategic moral leadership of Black women. One significant aspect of Sonya's strategic approach is that her leadership is rooted in a sense of moral obligation. In her case, that ethical obligation is to fulfill what she believes is the call God placed on her life. Why would God give me this if I was just supposed to give up? She asks. This belief that strategic leadership emerges from moral obligation is rooted in a history of Black women who connect their religious and spiritual duties to their social responsibilities. In her book, Witnessing and Testifying, Black Women, Religion, and Civil Rights, Rosetta E. Ross writes, "The obligation to contribute to improving social life as earning your space in the world originated in response to the particular circumstances of African Americans. Black women understand this value as responsibility. In order to fulfill this responsibility, states Ross, Black women look to determine the best response to those social needs." For Sonya, fulfilling her moral obligation means using the gifts God gave her to address a pressing social need. Brown children finally seeing themselves represented in literature. Ross presents four themes of responsibility among Black religious.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?